It is Thursday, the 25th of October, and this is episode 139 of Digital Outbox. We're back. Yes, hello, I'm Chris. Joined tonight by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Christopher. How is your car?
It's all done. 2 weeks and 5 days later, everything's done. Now waiting for the government to say it's all okay.
So just in case we have a new listener. Hi, new listener. you bought a car. It's not one of these, like, you know, hatchet jobs with two different ends and you join them together. It's a proper race car you've bought.
I have bought a car and I've been putting it together. That's why I wasn't around last week, and unfortunately Henry wasn't either. And Ian didn't fancy doing a monologue.
No, well, I was enjoying your monologue so much of watching you, like, all by yourself. Yes. In the garage.
Broadcasting my life, which has now hopefully come to an end for a bit, until the racing starts.
Tell me, Sarah, anyway. I love those broadcasts.
Oh dear, oh dear. Don't go the way of the Savile. Good advice.
Pretty much.
Anyway, news announcements then. There's been lots going on, actually. So we missed... Ian, you put up a nice summary from last week about a few things.
There was loads happening last week, and this week's been pretty epic. And next week, I think, it's going to be pretty epic as well. So it's all good.
Christmas is coming. So, yeah, we're definitely out of the slow summer months, basically, because Apple made what they like to call a small announcement, but actually ended up being bigger than their previous announcement, which was their big announcement. But yeah, so the much-hyped iPad Mini was officially announced, effectively, along with some other bits and bobs, which we weren't kind of expecting, or we were expecting, but maybe not such major step forwards.
And also, and not all at once... Apple recently.
Yeah, so they did rather kind of go against the criticism of nothing, to, you know, other than the main product launch last time.
Because usually all the kind of tech pundits will say, oh, they don't like to launch, you know, competing products against each other. They like all the news cycle to themselves, and they'll drop release. And it's like, no, let's just get it all out there.
Yep. So I didn't actually get to watch the announcement, and I haven't watched the kind of recording of it yet, but they put it out live this time, which is good.
Yeah. And Tim Cook was quite sturdy. And it was just one of these things. It was very noticeable as he was doing it that he was quite sturdy. Phil Schiller.
Well, he had a lot to remember this time. He didn't just have one
Phil,
thing to
Phil
remember.
Schiller did most of it. Okay. And he was spot on. He even made a joke early on about this is the Mini you weren't expecting when he talked about the Mac Mini. And everybody chuckled and went, ha ha, fra, fra, fra.
So they started, I'd say, having not watched it, I'm just going to go down in our show note order. So there we've got new iBooks. With continuous scrolling through pages now, is that right?
Yeah. That's about it. And I guess when you saw the Mini later on, you thought that does make sense. Hold it in one hand and just keep on scrolling.
Yeah. But they've got a new author out there as well. So they've increased or improved their authoring with new fonts and templates. And you can now put mathematical formulas in should that float your boat. They did ping out the new 13-inch MacBook Pro. Oh. So we had the new MacBook Air. And effectively, it's exactly down the same kind of line, the direction. You can see the direction they're going still. So it's 20% thinner than the last one. It's lighter. It's got the Retina display, and it costs £1,500, basically.
Yep. And, this is nice.
They released the 15-inch as well.
The 15-inch was out, about 6 months ago, 4 months ago?
But they've got the Retina version of it already.
Oh, yeah, the 15-inch Retina's been out for a while.
But they've chopped the 17. I can't see that on their website anymore.
Yeah, that disappeared when the 15 came out.
There we go. So I should probably know that already then. But there you go. So you can only have a 13 and a 15. You can't have the massive box. I guess they can't really justify putting a Retina display on that because it would be ridiculous technology to get that in there and power sapping and all that.
It looks a really nice product. And I did have a kind of mad, crazy chat with Jack today, because even though he doesn't podcast, he still talks incessantly about all things Apple. And if I had loads of money, I would...
He sucks the Apple lollipop. Good and proper.
I'm glad you finished that off. I was just saying, if money was an object, I would ditch the iMac, sell the laptop and just go for a 13-inch MacBook Pro.
13-inch. I don't know whether the new high resolution would make the difference for me, but it's not big enough for.
I'd buy a monitor as well.
I miss it. Right. Okay. But yeah, well, that'd be quite expensive.
I did see if money was no object.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. If money was no object, you'd have both. it's another, you know, it's a great addition to their line. It kind of brings everything up to date now. I still think the 13 MacBook and the 13 Air do clash slightly, but then they're not bothered about that. They don't care about eating each other's profit margins as long as each one makes a profit.
I think there's a significant price difference, you know, £500-600 difference between them and the kind of lightness as well. There is still a weight difference between them when you pick them up. It's very noticeable in the shop just how different the weights are.
Sure.
So it's... I think there's still enough of a difference. It'll be interesting next year if the Retina came to the Air and what that would do.
Hmm.
And whether that's possible. Maybe that's a couple of years away still. You know, it's everybody's assuming it's
next. Seems like they're catching up pretty quick. They're just going around their product line and that will, you know, it will surely be there pretty soon. With the Mac Mini, so no one was really looking at that one. So what have they done for the Mac Mini?
It's USB 3, new CPU and drives. Price still feels, it's like £500, I think it starts off at, which feels quite.
Yeah, but all Macs are about that much more expensive than their counterparts. So, you know, it's about right Mac wise, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know. The Mini's always just felt a little bit pricey for me. I know I've got one, but it just feels, starting price $499, 2.5 gig dual core, 4 gig of RAM, 500 gig hard drive. So there's lots of options in this now. You can put in like SSDs and all that kind of good stuff.
Its biggest drawback is still the same, which is, you know, it's got integrated as well. The graphics has to run off the same chip as the computer, so you're always limited down that route. So it's hard to see, you know, any, you know, there's it certainly couldn't do any hardcore work or workstation.
Well, it depends. I mean, it can certainly do hardcore stuff if you're not worried about graphics. You know, so if you're and certainly they've got options in there for as a server. A lot of people are using it as a little server.
But they've kind of taken away the server offering, haven't they?
They used to have a kind of Mac OS X server, and they're now setting up the Mini as a kind of replacement for it.
So that is what they're saying, is their new server. Okay, yeah. It's got maybe sort of slightly limited thing, but it's still quite a nice offering. And, you know, if you've got a good monitor already and keyboard and mouse, well, it's great. It's a quick way of getting a Mac into your house if you want
absolutely.
To.
Absolutely. And there you go. So the Mac Mini with OS X server, and basically you get a quad-core i7, 4 gig of RAM, 2 1-terabyte hard drives, and also OS X server. That's £850.
Yeah, so that's purely meant for, you know, in your office, really, to deliver out content, I guess.
Yeah.
And iMacs. So this was a pretty major update to their iMac, their 8th generation iMac, and they've gone quite a startling direction with it, really, haven't they?
Yeah. So people thought we would probably see maybe just a spec bump in this, because it'd been...
Which they tend to do quite regularly. They just bump up the processors and graphics card, and if it happens to tie in with a speech, they'll let you know that they've done it.
Yeah, and I think it had been 17 or 18 months since the last update. I mean, I think the one I've got was the kind of last update on iMac, and I'm sure that was last June, so it's been quite a while. And this was basically the 8th gen iMac. This was a redesign, and they were very sneaky. I don't know if you've seen the kind of pictures.
I have.
Yeah. So I mean, when you look at the pictures, it looks startlingly thin. I mean, it's 5 millimeter edge compared to, I'm just touching mine just now, what about maybe 15-20 millimeters? It's such a big difference.
A massive, massive difference, and it does look startlingly amazing.
It does, and there's some reasons for that. They've removed the optical drive, they've moved the SD slot to the back because even that's too wide for the edge now. There's an air gap in the kind of previous generation that's now been removed, so they've taken some of the advances they've made in the laptop side and applied that to the desktop. But there is quite a bulbous middle section. No, so it's...
Yes, and none of their pictures actually show that. They're all angled just to show the edge, which is fair enough because most people don't get to see that bulbous edge.
And the current ones have a bulbous, I mean, and they are thicker. Sure. And there are a couple of things to put. I think they're saying it's 40% capacity. Is it 40% capacity, you know, volume-wise less? You know, so it is a lot narrower.
Two things worry me.
Go on.
One is going down more and more down the laptop technology route.
Certainly without the I thought having the, I know they've been really aggressive removing that optical drive, but it,
that is,
but it's
that,
a desktop.
It feels a bit shaky.
It's a desktop machine, you know, and you think,
Right, there's two angles to this. One is I don't like the fact that they've removed it, but secondly, if I think about the last time I actually shoved a disc that was actually a bit of software into my optical drive, it was a long time ago. Maybe when I initially started up the machine to get something on it.
The last time for me, I burned a DVD for somebody, and they were looking for some content that I had, and the only practical way of doing it, because they couldn't do it over broadband or anything, was to actually burn it.
And for backing up purposes, burning DVDs is still an integral part of most people's backup processing.
So really?
That's a bit disappointing. Yeah.
Really?
Once you third level.
No, come on.
Yeah, yeah. Once in every while.
No.
But there's definitely when I bought my iMac from having the laptop, it was definitely a bit of software that I used and I wanted to install on the iMac.
Well, 100 quid, we'll buy you a drive.
Yeah. Well, you've got to pay for it. That's the thing now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Say that for me, the going down more and more down the laptop. I want this to be a desktop machine. I don't want it to be a laptop with a massive screen that sits on my desktop. Really. So I want the added benefits of having the extra space that can be afforded.
And there's from an internals point of view, a couple of nice upgrades: the HD camera on the front, up to 32 gig of RAM now, which is actually quite a lot, you know, for the iMac. It'll also support, I'm just realizing that the notes I've typed are rubbish, but it can support up to a 3 terabyte drive now and 756 flash. So that's, again, size-wise is well covered. It's USB 3 now, whereas it's USB 2. It's got a couple of Thunderbolt ports, whereas the previous gen was only one. So again, a bit more...
I think I've got two.
Oh, okay, you've got two. See, when you look around the back and you realize you've got one, you'll thank me. Maybe we have got two, I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure I got two, pretty sure.
The Fusion Drive was the new bit of tech.
Yeah, so what's this about then? Because I've heard different...
My take on this is that you can go and buy like a flash drive, and they had a graphic on screen that showed if you take the standard kind of terabyte drives that we've got, so the normal HDDs that we've got, they're 1x performance. And if you go and buy a flash drive, it's 4x performance. This Fusion drive is taking 128 gig of flash and also a terabyte drive, merging them as one drive, and Mountain Lion is automatically deciding which content should sit on the Fusion drive to access quickly. And the overall performance gain you get from it isn't as good as the flash drive on its own, but it's about 3.5x better than a standard terabyte drive.
Okay, so effectively it's a software thing more really than a hardware thing, but maybe working in combination. But things like applications would load off your flash drive, whereas, you know, standard access stuff, you know, your movies and documents would come off the actual main drive. That's quite clear.
And it does look to be quite... I mean certainly the guy who's been development for Apple was tweeting up about it, saying, "I've been working this for a year and I'm really proud of it." And Apple genuinely do look quite proud of it. It was something that I think Vista talked about many years ago, but it never really came to fruition.
But then they were too far ahead of this curve for flash, basically. I
think so. So
it's only just starting to come into its own now.
And just following up your point, one disappointing thing, the 21-inch iMac, you can no longer expand its RAM. There's just no space. Right, and it's like, that is pish. You know, it's really, really poor.
I wonder how many people do end up expanding RAM in these machines, or whether they just go and get the latest one. Because there's always something more juicy to go and get.
Maybe, but I think the fact that it's all in one with a screen puts me off upgrading every couple of years. I mean, last one was 5 years now. I can expect the same with this.
But did you upgrade the RAM on that last one?
Yeah, and upgraded RAM on this one as well. Just cost-wise.
But you did that because you bought less, exactly. But did you know, if you'd bought the amount that you wanted at the start, that's what...
If I'd bought the amount from Apple, it would have cost me an extra, I think it was £150, £160. You know, it still is an Apple tax. But the design-wise, I think they are. It is a lovely design, and
it's to be seen, and it's so clever, and so clever in that, you know, the bits that people see look dead thin, and then you hide the bum away.
I guess anecdotally, the people there's two or three people at work since I've bought this iMac, they've picked up one as well, and they've been PC users and always kind of a bit dismissive, and they've been really impressed. It's just out the box, what a beast. You know, yeah, out the box, it just works. iTunes will eventually die on you, but apart from that,
It dies on everything.
Yeah, it's a pretty good experience out of the box.
Yeah. Then on to we weren't onto the main bit of the show really for most people. Nope. They sneaked in an iPad upgrade.
Controversial.
Yeah, pretty controversial because it wasn't long ago that we saw the last one get released. So they basically spec'd up the
new iPad.
Yeah, they spec'd up the new iPad to be new, a new one.
Yep. So and it went from being the new iPad on the website to disappearing, and the new fourth gen one. And this was and you watched it live and you saw it on the screen, fourth generation. You're like, aha, it has changed. And on the website, it's now called iPad Retina.
Yeah, so it's the Retina display, but it's got the A6 chip, or a faster A6 chip in it. Slightly better Wi-Fi and the Lightning connector. So it's not really what they'd call a new product. It's almost a spec bump, I would say, wouldn't
it? I guess you could argue it's like the 3GS and the 4S on the iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, same design, but with an increased CPU and maybe better, I mean, at the time, better cameras, used to be justifying a 4G, a 4S upgrade. This is very similar. You know, it's got FaceTime HD now, but people feel really, I'll go to be honest, I don't care. You know, for me, an iPad's an every couple of year purchase. It's not an every year even. But I can understand some people feel quite cheated.
Well, how long is it since we had the announcement?
7 months.
So it's just, which is a shorter cycle than we would normally expect. But this isn't a new product. It's just a little bit faster.
Yep.
You've got to take it like it's a processor upgrade on a computer. It's nothing really. And you cannot ever wait for the latest one because you'll always be running
behind. There was a couple of tech writers, one in particular in America, who was absolutely livid and saying it was a dick move and stuff. And it's like, no, you need to grow up. You need to... You know, if you want to buy everything brand new all the time, and there was some examples of like the iMac was 18 months, and you say, yeah, but the MacBook Airs are every year. There's a spec bump. You're going to keep buying every year a new MacBook Air, and maybe they do. But for me, I've got to be honest. See, if you've got a third gen iPad, unless you've got loads of money, I think it's a waste of time selling and upgrading.
Yeah, no, totally.
I just don't get the need to be. I need to have that latest one. I need to be on that curve.
No, because all the software will be designed for a long time yet to be working with the third gen. The worst that can happen for them is that they get this generation just gets a bit split off from everyone else, in that not enough people upgrade to it to actually, that's one of the benefits of Apple stuff, is that everyone keeps up to date with the curve because their release schedule is so manufactured to make sure people can keep up with the curve. But this son is a bit out of kilter on that.
And the resale value usually is very good, but I mean basically people lost 150-200 quid in one day.
Yes,
I think it was Gazelle in America went from 550 to 350 in the space of an hour,
and that's quite a big kick in the face.
And
really.
And some people saw that as Apple, you've stiffed me now.
Well, maybe they have, but you've still got a great product. You're holding it. You're using it. You didn't think it was slow 2 seconds ago. No. You didn't care that you thought you were going to keep that for in the next year happily.
And it's the argument we've always had about. If you're an Android user and you love Android, if you try to keep up to date with Android, it's every 2 months you'd have to upgrade.
And I'm guessing that Apple really have to think about keeping up with that curve, because that curve could run away from them.
Absolutely.
If they're not upgrading.
And we're seeing, the competition's hot now. They've not got, they can't. You can't turn around and say they're the only game in town. There's lots of good competitors now.
Yep. So then they went on and talked about the iPad Mini, which was pretty much what everyone was expecting them to talk about. So basically, an iPad 2, but quite a lot smaller and quite a lot thinner.
And yeah, quite a lot lighter. I mean, half the weight, which I think is pretty important, because the iPad, when you're holding it for you've said it before as well, you hold it for a length of time, you do feel the weight.
You can't hold it, say, in the bottom corner of the thing and feel comfortable holding it there. It's too heavy to do that.
Whereas with this, I think you can. I thought, design-wise, and it looked great. It's got FaceTime HD, an A5 processor, pretty good camera on the back, 5 megapixel eyesight. LTE, so same cellular and Wi-Fi as the new fourth-gen iPad. Lightning as well, and a 10-hour battery. So 10-hour seems to be Apple's benchmark for any other tablets. It must meet 10-hour.
It's the correct benchmark to
which
go with
great.
As well.
You know, it's the one thing that's never deviated. So the iPad got heavier this year, but we will give you 10-hour battery.
Yeah. So, but I mean, The reason that it's not so exciting is because it really is just the iPad, but smaller. But the reason it's exciting is because it's slightly smaller iPad.
It's
one of those things. It's another product in their line which fits in very nicely, but you're not going to get anything new out of it. But it's if you want that more convenient size, I mean, for things like whacking on the back of headrests in cars and stuff and keeping your kids entertained, it's a perfect size now.
I will be buying one, not for me, but it's a perfect device, you know, for certain people. It's just that in between size. It's not a touch and it's not an iPad.
And at some point in the next year or so, I'm sure it will get a Retina upgrade.
Absolutely.
As well, because it's currently got the same kind of res as the larger iPad 2, so it still is quite high resolution, but it's certainly not
it's not a Retina, but certainly it's helped by the fact it's a smaller screen. I guess the one disappointing aspect that people focused on was price. People felt it was too dear. So the Wi-Fi 16 gig is coming in.
You know, it's a trend with Apple stuff here.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone thinks it's too dear and then buys it anyway.
And there was one tweet that I retweeted on Tuesday. Every iPad launch, people have been disappointed. So when the first one came out, I remember sitting watching it and going, I won't buy one. And the iPad 2 came out and it wasn't much of an upgrade. And the Retina came out and it was too heavy. And we've now got the minis out and it's too expensive compared to the Nexus and the Fire, and I'm sure it was selling like hotcakes.
Yeah, and I think that isn't the Nexus going to go up? Well, I mean, there's rumoured to be increasing in price for, you know, similar versions, so yeah. We'll see.
So there's new Nexus next week, so probably a cellular one and a 32 gig one as well.
So we'll see, but we're, so basically the new Mini starts at 269, and the top model is 529. So it's still in the same range, really, as it's the iPad 2, which you can still buy. So you can still buy the larger version as well.
Apple have got lots of SKUs now, you know, so there's lots of options. Whereas, I don't know, I would account, but to me, why still...
This does feel like a replacement for it, doesn't it, really? Because it's the same kind of spec as in... The reason it is the resolution it is because everyone already has to develop for that size for, you know, iPad 2 users.
And I guess they feel there's still a market for somebody not wanting a Retina, but not wanting a Mini. And still wanting the iPad 2, I find it very surprising. But there you go.
But again, if your production line's ready to go with it and people do want that size, then, you know, you're not forcing someone to have the smaller version of it, basically. I mean, smaller version might be slightly more tricky to use for an older user, say. I don't know. It's hard to say, really.
Yeah. So the Wi-Fi, the pre-orders start tomorrow on new iPads and on the iPad Mini. They ship next week, the Mini. And the cellular one is 2 weeks later, but in the US only at first.
Right, okay. So we'll have to wait a bit on that.
Yes.
Okay, so that was Apple. And we've also got Windows 8 launched now.
Woohoo!
Not that... they made much more of the launch of the Windows 7, didn't they? Windows 8 seems to have just... fizzled a bit.
They just seem to have done, like, you know, inordinately long blog posts all about Windows 8 technology.
Yeah. So we haven't been asked to have any parties over it. I think it's almost like they know.
Oh, God, I forgot
about
that.
They'd rather have. Yeah.
Do you want to have a party?
Yeah. I think it's like they know that it's not quite there yet, maybe. I mean, it does seem like the suggestions are from people who have used it, and I have to hold my hands up and say I haven't really used it, and certainly haven't really kept up to date with it too much. But the feedback I am hearing is that there are some great things about it. There's some great innovation there, but it's not quite done. It's not quite finished. It's rough around the edges and it's awkward to use because of it.
And that's... I'm not a Windows user. I use Windows at work. I'm still on XP. I've used 8 on a VM. And see, trying to use it just with a keyboard and mouse, I found it quite awkward. And I thought maybe it's me and maybe it's because of the VM. And certainly when I was using the touchpad, it was easier. But still felt quite clunky. But reading through the reviews, you know, last night and today, there's a kind of consensus that mouse and keyboard is awkward, which is pretty amazing for when you think of the heritage of Windows. But maybe it's just a sign of where the market's going with touch, that they believe so strongly
yeah,
that
but
that touch computers.
But the hardware people are going to be upgrading on is going to be very much mouse and Windows. So their first, someone's first experience is going to be quite disappointing. And trying to explain to someone how all that hangs together, if we in the tech bubble can't really work it all through, how do you get your mum to get to the right bit?
What is Windows RT? You know, and if I buy a Surface RT tomorrow, does that, does my Windows apps, will they work on it? Is it Windows? Is it like iOS? Is it different?
Someone buys a tablet and then they go and buy Microsoft Office because they've been told that they can get a version of Microsoft Office for it. They buy the wrong one. You know, what happens then? So it's all, I guess maybe things will become more clear. And certainly if I do get a VM up and running and play with it and see what happens. But I just say, the feeling I get is that they know that it's not quite there yet. And maybe it will come good, but the problem is that they can't really afford another Vista right now, which is, it came good in the end, but it took a long time and a lot of moans and complaints.
No, and they are, coming up for 3 years, from when the iPad launched. It's a long old time not to have a touch rival in the market. And certainly the Surface, which is also out tomorrow, is getting good reviews, but it's not beating the Nexus. It's not beating the iPad. It's
kind of on the scale of the tablets around. It's definitely going iPad, then Google, then Surface comes up after that. People do love the new keypad, the cover keyboard.
Yep. And I think hardware wise, I don't think I've really seen a bad review of the actual physical hardware implementation. So that kind of mag technology, the magnesium alloys that we're using, and the screen and it generally has all been, almost uniformly positive about it. The battery life seems to be good, getting 8 hours or more out of it. So when you think Microsoft aren't known for, and fair enough, they obviously produce Xbox and they've always produced peripherals, but they've not produced an actual PC product. So that is a really good starting point for them.
Yeah, and so there's two types of keyboard. Both of them are quite expensive, so you can buy the cover with the kind of flat key keyboard, and there's also another version which actually has some travel in the keys.
Yes.
Both of them have got quite good reviews, but they're both quite expensive. I think the flat one's at least £80, and then the travel one is like £120 even more.
I think it was $100 and $120 in America. So they're not inconsiderable.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
For keyboard, and especially for a bit of the device that actually is one of the big selling points, and actually the thing, so everyone's going to be getting them. So actually, you can really bump up their prices that they've told us about by £100 or whatever, just to have the keyboard.
But was the I'm just looking at the price, because did I not pay £70 for an iPad cover? For the flip cover nonsense thing.
Well, if you only get the plasticky one, I think it's £25-30.
I didn't.
But when you first bought it, it's probably a lot more than that.
Yeah.
You got the leather one.
I did.
Yes, you probably did pay for £70 for a bit of leather.
Yeah, because the normal one, polyurethane one's £40.
There you go. So it is quite a lot of money.
Leather, £60.
Yeah, that's a lot of money for something with a couple of magnets in it.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't mention they've got a new cover, haven't they, for the Mini?
Yeah.
With an integrated hinge rather than the magnet.
It actually looks quite smart.
That looks all right. Cost a lot of money, though. That's Windows 8. I'm sure more will come to light over the coming days about that, and hopefully one day I'll get to use it. That's the problem with moving away from the Windows from both of us, is that we haven't really got a strong opinion.
No, and it's the VMs, I hope to be able to get my hands on a Surface over the next sort of 3-4 weeks. So it'll be interesting.
Maybe one day.
It'll be interesting to play around with that and actually, the Surface review, I copied in the Verge's one, because there was... It's sometimes hard. I find Verge is usually, I find, quite honest. I don't really think they've got too much of a bias. Whereas I do think some sites do. Gizmodo hated the Surface. They were like, it's just, don't buy it. It was really quite scathing. I was surprised. Some other people were saying it was absolutely fantastic. It was a really usable device and could easily replace a laptop. And they were really comfortable doing work on it, etc., with the keyboard and stuff.
Maybe it depends what angle you come from. Maybe if you think of it more like a mini laptop rather than a pad tablet.
And the Verge is the thing that the Verge says let it down was the software. It was not the hardware. And that's
bit of a trend coming out, isn't there?
That's telling, because you start to think, is this another Vista?
Hopefully not.
No.
Digital TV switchover, which was due to take a while, took slightly less than a while, and went very smoothly.
Yeah, scaremongers be gone.
Yeah, there's probably a whole load of grannies there without TV, and they've just been ignored, but, you know, such as...
Why do we all... It's funny how we always see grannies as well. It's just like, it's never granddads. It's always grannies.
No, they're too clever. They're all down the pub. Right, so basically, yeah, so the 4G spectrum is all free, free and clear, ready to go.
And
let's get that 4G out.
And hopefully it means, you know, this time next year, we'll be a 4G country fully.
Hopefully this time next year, we won't only have EE and their bloody pricing and data. We'll have some competition to try and get a bit more data out of them.
Do you think there's something wrong with the pricing?
I think there might, not so much with the pricing. The pricing's pretty much where I expected it. The amount of data associated with the pricing levels is entirely wrong. So they've come out and they have given us their pricing plan. So we were, I can't remember what our predictions were now, sort of £40 for X number of gig.
I think we did say 40 at one point, and I think people were saying there was some people saying it would be, you know, maybe less than £10 more than what you're currently paying as an average. So,
and the pricing does look, you know, it's about £10 more than you might expect to pay, but it's just that the data levels from 3G haven't moved up. So the lowest level is still 500 megabytes of data, which is, you know, just ridiculous. And the next level beyond that is a gig, then three, then eight, five, and then 8 gigabytes is going to cost you £56 a month, which is an awful lot of money for 8 gigabytes of data.
And there's no unlimited options.
No, you can't. Yes, so you're not allowed.
And these prices, so 36 a month. And the bit that kind of hacked me off, they made a big deal about it's unlimited minutes and unlimited text. And it's like the whole point of 4G is people are wanting data. It's not that they're wanting unlimited minutes and unlimited text. I thought 500 meg a month was really cheeky as a starting price. And, I mean, the spokesman said the vast majority of our customers are using less than 500 meg of data per month today on Orange. And even on unlimited plans, customers are using around a gigabyte. And it's like, but is that...
Because they're told that if they ever use any more than that, then they get throttled back or turn
the
servers
off. And also
it's a lot of bit of, you know, there's a lot of paranoia about people don't use their devices how they want to use them.
No.
Basically, because they're told they can't.
And I mean, Shaq was certainly that way before they moved on to 3. So he'd moved on to iTunes Match. He couldn't stream with O2. And he was very careful about how he used it. Now he uses it with gear abandon. And this month he was just under 3 gig. My first month is just finished, and I think I was 1.7 gig.
So that shows a reasonable amount of usage then, you know, how you want to be using it.
And that 1.7 gig included a week when I was mostly at home because I was on holiday, you know, so I wasn't at work, you know, streaming music during that. So I reckon most months I'm going to be at least over 2 gig.
So then you're looking at 3 gig data option, which is £46 a month.
Yep. And we should point out that's if you're buying a phone. There are some only deals which are a lot more reasonable. But kind of hidden away, most of the press talked about the kind of contract with a phone price. So
because that's mostly what people are going to
get. Yeah, but I mean, if you went sim only for 3 gig for 12 months, you're looking at £31 a month, and that's including.
Yeah, but that's fine. But that's, you know, that's still a lot of money when it's just for the sim.
It is, but
because you've already spent £600 on your phone to do that.
But bear in mind that included tethering as well. And when if you look at the comparison with 3, and I know it's unlimited data, but they're £25 a month. So you're looking at maybe £6 a month more, which isn't too bad if you're under 3 gig.
Yeah, if you
but that's the caveat, you know. And
the thing is, as more data is available and more readily available, then apps and software changes to react to that. And so all these limitations are going to have to be lifted when more and more stuff is cloud-based, which is just where it's going.
And we're going to see websites. I mean, if you think to when we had faster broadband at home, the size of an average website went up, and it's going to be the same for the mobile sites. We're not going to see mobile sites for too much longer. We're going to see rich content, and we're going to see, I mean, our smartphones are moving to, you know, 4-inch iPhones, 5.7-inch Android devices. They're not going to serve up mobile versions of these sites. They're going to serve up rich content, and it's going to cost a lot of data.
And you talked about what you put into the show notes from last week, the Boxy Box, the new TV, Boxy TV. In America, this isn't UK-based, but nevertheless, they're talking about having a cloud-based DVR solution. So you record all your content unlimited to the cloud for your TV. And you know the days that, you know, that's going to push any data network to its limit, but they're the kind of things that are going to happen once data becomes free flowing.
I just
let's end up. Oh, go on.
No, the one bit I thought was really cheeky. See, if you run out of data, you're cut off. So there's
right,
no.
That's it. Done.
EE will gladly send you a text warning you. But when you run out, you're cut off. See, if you want 50 meg, it's £3.
That's more than like.
It's more than good. Like,
hotels charge.
Yep, 500 meg, £6. 2 gig, £15. If you don't use it all, we won't carry it over. Right. So it really, it was like
it's cheeky,
it was nickel and dime. You know, it really stiffened the customer, I think, on that one.
I guess they're again trying to make sure things don't get out of hand as far as them not being able to offer a service to anyone. But that it's not enough. It's yesterday's numbers on today's technology.
So at the moment I won't be moving. I'm perfectly happy with 3. It's serving up the data nice and fast for me.
It'll become freer and freer as more and more people move over to 4G as well.
And I think next year we'll see some competition. It'll be interesting once the other spectrums become available and there's a bit of competition where this actually goes next.
Let's end the news this week on a bit more privacy news and basically... I always get this wrong. Basically, the music industry is asking for a couple more sites to be banned. So they've gone to all the ISPs and sent a letter saying we want such and such sites gone. And the ISPs have said, well, okay, but you get a court order and we'll do it, basically.
I guess we said once, you know, Pirate Bay was banned via court order and eventually they put in the kind of... the ban across all the ISPs, and we kind of knew this was coming. So a letter was sent last week. It was sent to 6 ISPs, and basically, I'm sure, there'll be a court order raised, and these will be banned. These will be blocked.
Yeah, but again, last week you were telling us that you in the show notes, it was all about how the Pirate Bay's now moved all its processing into the cloud, so they can effectively at the flick of a switch move. So as soon as they get banned from one place or one country, they can just move to another
and
one.
I'm using Virgin Media. It's blocked to Pirate Bay, and I can click on a link right now and get it. No problem at all.
Yeah, yeah. So the technology cannot chase these sites everywhere. It's one of those things. But I mean, for the majority of people, it probably would block it, you know. Certainly you'll make it clear that you're not supposed to be there. But yes, so the point is they're asking for these things to happen, these blocks to happen really quickly nowadays. But I guess the court process slows it all down and ISPs are still requesting that they do have a court order before they actually go and pull these things, which is the way it should be, really. All good. Picks then. Got some pick for me?
I have. One that I haven't listed, but Forza whatever. Is it Horizon?
Horizon.
Is it out tomorrow?
It is. I don't know whether I'm going to pick it up or not. I think I might be tempted to pick it up tomorrow.
I didn't pre-order it, but I'm just going to go and buy it tomorrow. Because Need for Speed's out the next week, and it's been getting fantastic reviews. And
I think is I got a bit burnt on the last one. It was all right.
And I did, but this is more.
How much did we end up playing?
This is from the guys behind Burnout. So it's for me. It's going to be a Christmas one because there's too many coming out. Halo's out 3 days later because Halo comes out a week on Tuesday.
Wow, and is it that soon?
Yeah,
gosh.
Yeah, exactly. And so something's got to give, and Need for Speed will be later on. So Forza Horizon's out tomorrow, so or out today if you're listening to the podcast. If I get it out in time,
yeah. That game worries me though.
What, Forza?
It's trying to put a serious angle on top of what Burnout did so well as a comedy of stupidness.
Yeah.
And I just don't know whether the serious angle is going to work.
I don't.
I love Test Drive Unlimited just based on the whole freedom to drive.
I don't think it's that serious.
Well, we'll see. But
did you play the demo?
Say, I love the idea of the game where you can. No, I haven't.
Sorry, if you played the demo, you wouldn't think it's serious.
Okay, all right. But yes, but are they trying to be serious?
No,
I don't know. This is the thing.
No, okay, definitely not. Good. No. I mean, it's not taking Forza and just putting it on a rally track, and they are trying to kind of loosen it up a bit.
Okay. Well, I say I love the idea of the free to roam. I don't think Test Drive ever. Cracked it, so maybe Forza will.
And certainly the review for Need for Speed said the multiplayer they've now got so right. That was one of the strongest aspects of it.
And we loved it last time. So Burnout.
Yeah, and Burnout Paradise. So it's from the guys behind Burnout Paradise. So I still get Forza, but
okay, yeah, maybe like you say, it's a Christmas thing. But I do feel that would be a game. maybe, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I had mentioned this on the post on the website last week. Mac Heist is around again. And I just thought it was worth pointing out to listeners. It says 1 day left. So again, depending on when this is out, you might only have a few hours to pick this up. But the full bundle is now unlocked. So I think on the post last week, Scrivener's there. So if you're into doing any some serious writing, Scrivener's is a well-recommended app. The reason I bought it, you get a year, or you get a 15 months of Evernote Premium, which is worth $60. And the Mac Heist in total is $29. So it's a bit of a no-brainer. But also just unlocked is Bioshock 2. So you're getting Bioshock 2 for the Mac. And also Braid has been added. So there are a couple of fantastic games.
Yep, good.
There's loads of apps. And also if you tweet or Facebook it, you get another 20 or so apps as well. Most of them are fairly low value. Tat, I won't sit and sell them. Oh, Printopia was also added as well. Printopia is a fantastic app for the Mac as well. So head to MacCast if you're looking for some bargains. But again, even for Evernote Premium, for me it was like, that's great. I do have one final pick, and that is Letterpress. A game for iOS, iPad, and iPhone, and iPod Touch, and all the others, and iPad Mini. There's too many now.
A game for iOS.
Yeah, thanks for that.
That would have done.
This is from Lauren Brichter, or Brichter, pronunciation's rubbish, I'm getting tired. The guy that wrote Tweety. He has released this game called Letterpress. It's free. You can play against friends. If you want to unlock and have more games available and custom themes, it's $0.99 in-app purchase. It's basically, you get a little grid. I think it's only 5x5 letters, and you just make up words, and you think that's it. You know, so I'll make a word, you'll make a word, but there's some tactics in trying to block out vowels so you can't make words, and et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Visually, stunning. Just one of these really simple, clearly done, no big graphics, it's just all subtle, you know, simple animations, and it's just lovely, it's just great. So go and try it, Letterpress.
So available on the App Store.
It is.
Good stuff. Okay, and that is the end of our podcast. So if you want to find out more about us and what we do, we're www.digitaloutbox.com. You can email us info@digitaloutbox.com, and we are on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as GZUK. Ian, you are?
I am Shreeper on Twitter. I am Ian Dick on app.net. And my blog is iand.net.
Fabuloso. So we will talk at you next week. It's been good to be back. Speak to you later. Bye.
Bye. I always think I need to get some sort of F1 or vroom vroom music in when we're talking about the car.
It's the car. Yeah, I should probably put that blog in there, shouldn't I?
You should, because I won't tell you how many times I just sat here working away, and every so often you just hear like something dramatic's happened. You'd flick over and be like, oh.
No one mentioned my absolute hissy fit that I threw at my dad one day.
I never saw it.
so I'm hopefully no one saw it.
I never saw it. I saw you posting about it.
Off.
I saw you posting about off. It and I just thought, bless.
Yeah, I was just a bit tired.
Well, it happens to us all, doesn't it?
Yeah.